Running backs find new homes. Kirk Cousins robs yet another team, and the New England Patriots remain stagnant for another season. Yes, it is free agency. This is the Fumble Rooski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumble Rooski podcast by Power 88 and Seeker Weapon Consulting. I'm Adam Wright with Chris Kostich and CJ Medeiros. We have yet another free agency, which is, I would say, the most wonderful time of the offseason. Plenty of action going on. I would argue it's a top five, one of the most enjoyable points in the league year. Like, even some parts of the regular season. I get it. We love watching football for an entire day straight, but this goes on for an entire week straight. And you get to see all these new players sign with new teams. And it also has some entanglements, I'll say, for lack of a better term, with the NFL draft. So that is always something to consider. But without further ado, we're going to get going. Running backs have all of these star running backs who have hit free agency have found new homes. So most recently, the Baltimore Ravens signed Derrick Henry. The Washington Commanders signed Austin Eckler. The Green Bay Packers signed Josh Jacobs. And I'm sure there is one missing that I'm just... Saquon Barkley goes to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, did you mention Tony Pollard? Or
Tony Pollard becomes a Tennessee Titan. And I'll mention Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon is now a Houston Texan. That's an interesting
And Antonio Gibson's on the Pats.
Yes, the most really important name of them all.
Antonio Gibson in there. Oh, wait, Austin Eckler? Did you mention him? Or
yeah, he did.
We did.
All right, I'm sorry. There is no lore reason for that. I asked. Sorry.
Yeah. So what I would say is three of these teams are legitimate contenders and have gotten significantly better because they signed these players. The Eagles with Saquon Barkley and the Ravens with Derrick Henry, most notably. But guys, what are your thoughts?
CJ, I'll let you go first on this, Mr. Free Agency.
No, thank you. You're very generous. So this whole free agency just shows how devalued the running back position is these days. I mean, oh my God. I mean, if I said to you probably like around 2019, 2020, that all these guys, these big name guys, you know, I said we're just going to be reshuffled and in some cases cast off for literally peanuts and getting contracts that are just, I mean, Derrick Henry, like 2 years, 20 million, Saquon Barkley, 3 years, 33 million. Like, you probably would have said, I would like whatever you're smoking. However, I mean, this is just like the sign of the times, I suppose. But beside that, what Adam mentioned was how a lot of these guys are going to contenders, like the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, we already know Lamar Jackson loves the RPO offense, but imagine that with Derrick Henry, you know, like the one running back that seems to be aging gracefully and is bucking, though, you know, once you turn 30, you're basically dead as far as skill positions go. And Joe Mixon, who's always been like an underrated back, you know, my fantasy team can attest, though, that he's pretty good. And I got to say, this man going to the C.J. Stroud Texans, a good young team with a bright future, that's I'm not going to lie, that's a little concerning. And the Eagles, a team that needs to run the ball more, gets Saquon Barkley. I mean, this is why we love free agency. It's crazy, but some of these running backs did get underpaid. It's kind of like a bittersweet thing because on one hand, you know, some of these guys, it's like, you know, some of like the best backs in the league, you're just like, wow, you're not even going to get like a $50 million contract. But on the other hand, the fact that they're changing these teams, that's insane.
Yeah, no, I'd have to second that. The running back position has been devalued, and you don't see many franchise guys anymore, or guys that are going to be on one team for the entirety of their careers. Like, I mean, as Pats fans, we're pretty fortunate with like James White and whatnot that he's stuck around his entire career here. But yeah, there's teams aren't really looking to keep running backs around for a whole lot of time anymore. And there was a couple that were pretty surprising. I'm surprised that they didn't bring back Josh, or the Raiders didn't bring back Josh Jacobs. I'm surprised that the Bengals even got rid of Joe Mixon. But that's just such a huge pickup for the Texans at that rate. And it kind of just goes back to the running backs of the past that ended up fizzling out so quick. And it's guys like Le'Veon Bell, guys like Todd Gurley. There's a couple other names that Zeke, I can't maybe. Think of. What?
Ezekiel Elliott.
They fizzled out so quickly. And, I mean, you can even look at DeMarco Murray. I mean, what? He had two really good years with Dallas, gets sent over to Philly, and he just isn't the same anymore after that. So the running back lifespan is a lot shorter now, and that's reflected with these paychecks that they're getting. And it's guys like Le'Veon and Todd Gurley that, like, nothing against Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley still, since 2017, leads so many stat categories in the running game, even to this day. But he just had a bunch of injury issues. He hasn't even reached 30 yet, and he's not even in the league anymore. And then you also have a guy like Le'Veon Bell that wanted to get paid, and then he got paid and couldn't live up to his paycheck after that. So, yeah. All in all, the running back market is very much diminished in more ways than one.
Yeah, and one thing I will add is that out of all of these contracts for every running back we just mentioned, and we forgot Aaron Jones becoming a Viking, 1 year, $7 million, only one of these deals has gone for 4 years. Josh Jacobs went to the Packers for 4 years, $48 million. The average annual value for both of these deals, for all of these deals, only two of them went for double digit in the millions. So yes, they're getting signed. Finally, this was an issue for the past couple of years. Running backs were becoming very much devalued, for obvious reasons. I mean, they don't last very long. So they said these teams cracked and they said, okay, we'll give you deals, but they're going to be short term and it's not going to be for that much money. So they're still giving these multi-year deals. So most of them have been about 3 years, some of them two. So that's kind of the way they're going. They're kind of low incentive, still not short-term deals, but not long either. They're about 2 to 3 years. And they're on smaller money. So it looks like the running back market is leveling out to a point where it should be, whereas before Todd Gurley and Ezekiel Elliott were absolutely dominating the financial world of the NFL.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with that. To be honest, I don't really have many more thoughts on this.
Let me go out with one question. Which of these teams do you think has these new running backs? So Josh Jacobs with the Packers, Derrick Henry with the Ravens, Saquon Barkley with the Eagles. Which team do you think has gotten the best? Like, which team do you believe is going to be the most threatening around the league?
It's a good question there, Adam. I mean, I think my top two would probably be the Eagles and the Texans. I'm going to lean more towards the Texans with Mixon because that was already such a really good unit over there. And they had guys like Damian Pierce and Devin Singletary kind of step up in the running game as well, but they didn't really have the greatest running game in the world, and they were kind of riding on the back of CJ Stroud. Now you actually give them a running game. Now you actually give them a running game. Let them go run the AFC South now. And I mean, the only reason why I wouldn't say Philly is because, you know, you have all that talent, but kind of comes down to if Sirianni can get his shit together and whatnot.
Yeah. So for me, I am leaning actually more towards the Baltimore Ravens and Derrick Henry. So the thing is, I mean, I already mentioned why this has been good for them, but I mean, they've never really had like a true bell cow with Lamar. And they've always had a running back by committee. A lot of it wasn't by choice. It was because they kept getting hurt. Like, you know, J.K. Dobbins was great for like the three games a year he's healthy. You know, it was clear that they did not think Gus Edwards was a number one back. I mean, just by how they used him, especially in the AFC Championship game. But Derrick Henry, a guy who even past the age of 30 can put a team on his back and so get you a buck 50 and two touchdowns. With Lamar bringing that electricity and actually like some semblance of a passing game with guys like Zay Flowers and Mark Andrews.
Let me tell you something. I think Josh Jacobs to the Packers was a signing that came completely out of left field because I did not see the Packers making this kind of a splash. But he's younger than Aaron Jones, and on top of that, he is a three down back. I feel like this makes the Packers so much more formidable. You have a good young quarterback. You have a decent young wide receiving core. Let's see if one of them becomes a wide receiver one. I'm not quite sure about it. I like Jaden Reed. We'll see how he becomes. But I think that's the team that's the closest. I think that's the team. I don't know if I wouldn't say that they're better than the Eagles just yet. I definitely wouldn't say that they're better than the Ravens, but I think they improve the most out of that group. I definitely think they're the team that can jump from, you know, they barely squeaked in the playoffs at 9-8. I'm willing to say they go 11-6, 10-7, maybe 12 wins. I think 10-7 at the least. I'd be shocked if they would go 9-8 next year. Now there's a lot of things that still need to happen. They need another tackle to replace David Bakhtiari. But things are looking up in Wisconsin right now. So I think that's a team that everyone's overlooking right now. And I believe should get a lot better. All right. We're going to get to Kirk Cousins' contract. So unless you're living under a rock, if you're an NFL fan, you know about this contract. Kirk Cousins signs a mega deal with the Atlanta Falcons. We're going to talk about all the ins and outs of that contract. Next, this is the Fumble Rooski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski podcast by Power 88 and Secret Weapon Consulting. I am Adam Wright. With Chris Kostich and CJ Medeiros. So this is Kirk Cousins' second big deal that he has signed. And I guess you could kind of include the extension he signed a couple of years back for the Minnesota Vikings. But so the current contract for Kirk Cousins is 4 years, $180 million with the Atlanta Falcons. So just aside from the fit here, I just want to talk about the deals that he has scored over the years, because it's actually been insane. So a couple of years ago, he signed a 3-year, $84 million contract with the Minnesota Vikings. And now here we are. And this guy has now signed another big contract, 4 years, $180 million. So I'm not going to say that Kirk Cousins sucks. He's a very good quarterback. Probably, I would say, the upper echelon of all quarterbacks around the league. He's not top 10. But, like, is this the type of guy who deserves this kind of money? I want to be friends with this guy's agent so he could score me big deals like this. And this is, I mean, Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback, but is he 4 years, $180 million good? Like, he scored a pretty good deal. What do you guys think?
I would say Kirk Cousins is top 10, but he's 10. He's 10.
So, like, top back 10,
but he's 10. So, fringe. Here's my reasoning. And, yeah, he's 36. Maybe he doesn't need to be on a four-year deal like he is right now, but that's kind of a result of the quarterback position that we're seeing today, where we're seeing more guys that are getting themselves into their late 30s. Brady and Favre were kind of the first really to get that going. Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers right now, and now Kirk Cousins. He's 30. He's what, 35, 36. So they're kind of relying on Kirk Cousins to play at a high level going into his 40s. And let's not forget that prior to the injury that he suffered last year, prior to that, he was the entire Vikings offense. They didn't have a running game, and like so much so that they didn't have a rushing touchdown until after Kirk Cousins got hurt. So right. we can make this debate about if he really deserves it or not, but at the end of the day, he is a guy that will win you games and get the job done. He can get you to the playoffs. Will you win a playoff game? That's a story for another day, but whatever. But regardless, Kirk Cousins is a guy that will get a job done for you no matter what. And he's a guy that you can rely on to get a lot of offense going. And now he's going to be in an offense that has all the weapons that you need. Obviously, in Minnesota, he had Jettas, Jordan Addison, and now he goes to Atlanta. It's more of a all-around weapon type of thing. You got Drake London. Now you got Kyle Pitts. Now you got Bijan. So, in a sense, it's a pretty good look for Atlanta, and definitely be a huge hassle for the NFC South.
Yeah, look, he is... I don't know. Like, he's going to win you regular season games. But, I mean, has he even ever won a playoff game before? I'm just trying to think. I think he's won one playoff game.
He beat the Saints right before that 2019 year. Beat the Saints in OT. And then the next week, they got mucked around by the Niners.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so who would later
go on to the Super Bowl.
So he's not the type of guy to like. I'm not going to say that he's a bad quarterback. He's still pretty good. He'll win you some games, but I wouldn't say that he's kind of like Aaron Rodgers in the sense that he's a regular season quarterback. He'll win you some games. He'll put up the statistics. He's a competent passer, but CJ, what are your thoughts?
I feel like both are true because on one hand, he was probably your safest bet out there. I mean, let's not say he's bad. All right. I mean, I think we can all admit he's good. I mean, Chris, you're not alone. Tuck, I believe, also thinks Kirk Cousins is top 10. Me personally, I feel like fringe at highest, maybe number 10, maybe number 9.
That's why I say top 10, but he's 10.
He's 12 for me.
Look, I don't have my list on me or even have a list, so I'm not going to get involved. So the thing with Kirk Cousins is that it's like Adam mentioned, he's got like one playoff win to his name. And we all know about his record in primetime. Was he ever only one, maybe two games in primetime ever?
I think you're thinking of Daniel Jones, but I know what you mean. And that I think that Kirk Cousins has a bad record on a certain primetime night.
Nah, it'll be
But I get what your point is, though.
But yeah, he's just, I don't know. It's like he's above average. He's not going to win you a Super Bowl, but then again, the Falcons aren't built to win a Super Bowl. But overall, I hate the money, but I don't hate the fact that he's going there, because now you have a head coach that is not offensively challenged.
I have the exact numbers. Right. It's Monday Night Football. It's that specific one. And he's 2-10 in his career.
And he beat the Niners last year on Monday Night Football.
So that was like his second one ever. And I think the other one was the Patriots at some point.
No, that was Thanksgiving Day, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
That he beat the Patriots. That was,
so yeah, that was another primetime game that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously that was a touchdown and we all know, but that doesn't matter. So but the thing is with Cousins is that he's going to a team that does have weapons. Like you mentioned, you know, Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson, and you just signed Darnell Mooney. Not to mention the defense has some good young pieces. You got Raheem Morris, who I really think can be a really good head coach, especially like defensive minded guy who can like bring that defense up. Cause let's face it. In Minnesota, he wasn't exactly aided by an elite defense. I mean, they had some good pieces like Danielle Hunter and Za'Darius Smith at some points, but overall, that defense was awful. But now you're going to the Falcons that have a little bit of a better defense. You have defensive-minded, a younger head coach that can really click with these young guys. Honestly, the contract probably not deserved, but the Falcons, let's be honest. I mean, I know Tampa just won the division, but with but now that you have Kirk Cousins and not Desmond just chuck the ball anywhere Ritter, you would have to think that they're NFC South favorites, right?
100%.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's the thing. I mean, just the fact that you can almost guarantee you the NFC South, as awful as it is, might be worth the money. Might.
Well, like here's he's another thing.
Games, though, I guess.
Here's another thing with Kirk Cousins as to why I'm hesitant to have him as a top 10 quarterback or even hesitant to say he's deserving of this money. For most of his career, he's been surrounded by pretty good weapons and has still looked kind of iffy considering the situation around him year in, year out on offense. Like, you've had Justin Jefferson the past 4 years. You've had Adam Thielen. You've had a very good running back in Dalvin Cook. Now you're about to have
Stephon Diggs or no? I feel like
he had Stephon Diggs for a couple of years too. So he's always had some really good weapons to work around. Like, actually, I would say great weapons. Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen as your 1 and 2. That's actually amazing. And then don't forget KJ Osborne, who's a decent player, decent third option as in himself. TJ Hawkinson, who's developed into a fringe top five tight end. Top two, top five, wherever you want to put him.
And Adam?
What's up?
I was going to say, respectfully, I also think you're forgetting that when he was starting out in the Washington, well, back then they were called the Redskins, you know who we had, right? Pierre Garçon, DeSean Jackson, and Jordan Reed. So that just lends further credence to your point that, well, you know, he's had a lot of weapons like since he set foot on the field.
And those aren't as good as what he had in Minnesota. Like, what he's had in Minnesota is so much better, but those are still really good players. And this isn't DeSean Jackson like towards the end of his career. This is like DeSean Jackson while he was still putting up pretty good numbers. DeSean Jackson, he just freshly left the Eagles and he was still putting up numbers with the Redskins. And then you also had, like you said, Pierre Garçon. Who were the tight ends?
Jordan Reed was very good, but Kelly got a concussion.
Extremely injury prone. Like, I've never seen a tight end so good yet so injury prone. He makes Rob Gronkowski look healthy, look like a workhorse. Jordan Reed, Vernon Davis as well, I believe.
Yeah.
So here's what I'll give you stats wise from the playoffs to kind of throw in here for the argument's sake. If we look at the three Minnesota playoff games that Kirk Cousins has played in, we're talking the Saints game where they won an OT. He went 19 for 31, 242 yards and one touchdown. First of all, before I go any further, touchdown to interception ratio through four starts of his career, 5-1. He's only thrown one interception, and that was against the 49ers where they got manhandled, and his completion percentage in that game was actually pretty good, 72.4%. Last year's NFC wildcard game against the Giants, his defense gave up 31 points to Danny freaking Dimes. And Kirk Cousins also went almost 80% completion percentage, 273 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions. But his defense gave up 31 points. The 49ers game, 72%, 21 for 29, touchdown, interception, and he got sacked six times. If you even go back to 2016, the wild card game against Green Bay, sacked six times, one touchdown, no interceptions, but he threw the ball 46 times for 329 yards, 63% there. I mean, it's not that he doesn't even have bad numbers in the playoffs. I think it's just at this point, he gets a tough luck of the draw, and more times than not, his defense gives up 30 points. But yeah, his offense only puts up like what, 10 points at that rate as well. But you look at the defense that he had to go up against in 2020, he had to go up against the 49ers defense. So I'm not like, yeah, I don't blame you for only putting up 10 points, but it's a playoff game. You do have to show up in that aspect and put points on the board, but it's hard to really do anything when you get sacked six times.
Sure. But that's just going to be the quality of teams that you're going to run into.
Yeah.
Right. So that's something that you'll have to end up, you're going to end up dealing with. And I'm just looking at the defensive rankings right now.
And depending on what these rankings are, I would argue that the Vikings defense more or less was the reason for their lack of success in playoffs, or at least even getting to the playoffs.
So in 2020, they ranked towards the bottom, his third year there. As for the 2019 season, they were kind of middle of the pack. And I believe it was 2018 where they were still an elite defense. So they eventually figured out the defense a couple of years later when they just last season in 2022, they went 13-4 and they were a solid defense. But so 2018, that was their last year where they were top five. They were fourth in total points per game allowed, which is fantastic. So like a solid point can be made for the defense, but a truly elite quarterback would need to overcome that. I know it sounds like an unfair assessment.
I feel like that just goes to having to compare everybody to Patrick Mahomes at that point. That I guess that's where I draw my problem around all of this at this rate, is that we're expecting everybody to be Patrick Mahomes because he's the standard at this point, and he can deal with a bunch of horse crap and be able to work with it and win 3 out of 5. But that's just not what we're going to get at this point. You can't expect Kirk Cousins to just do the same things that Patrick Mahomes does. You can't expect, what's another quarterback? You can't expect Mac Jones to do the same things Patrick Mahomes does. I know that's just like a shot in the dark, but like, I guess that's the point that you can't expect Dak Prescott to do the same things that Patrick Mahomes does.
Well, let me give you some other teams.
Or Jalen Hurts.
Let me give you some other players. Joe Burrow is a player who routinely does more with less with the Bengals. Year in, year out, one of the worst offensive lines in football. Gets his teeth kicked in every other play. Was still, when he's healthy, able to make the playoffs. Josh Allen, not the best coaching, not the best offensive line work, and the defense has been dwindling in recent years. And yet, with all of these imperfections in mind, and also a terrible running game, they're still able to make the playoffs and be division winners year in, year out. Jalen Hurts, really bad coaching this past year. Pretty bad. They still made the playoffs.
Because they already had 11, 12 wins by the last quarter of the season. They were already in the playoffs at that point.
So that's still that's kind of the point. Down years for them. They may be down years, but those are career years for many other quarterbacks. I saw
this. I knew it was going. It's like every time Adam says it, we take a shot. But you're not wrong.
When you're not wrong, but
Elite quarterbacks are going to have down years. Patrick Mahomes is two of a kind. Only Tom Brady is similar to this guy. But they're still able to make the playoffs on down years. They may be one and done, but they still make the playoffs. Kirk Cousins on one of those years, he's 13-4 and he's bounced in the first round, and that's considered one of his best years. So that's kind of where I look at it. Like, on his best years, he's still done in the first or second round. And yeah, he put up some statistics, but that's the end all be all for everyone who defends Kirk Cousins is, well, the statistics were good. He won some games. They made the playoffs. They won 13 games. Well, that's all fine and good, but actually cash in when you do that. If you win championships in the years where you win all these games, or even when you squeak into the playoffs, or at least are in contention, make a deep run, then okay, we're talking here. But he's only won one playoff game in the 10 years that he's been in the league. So that's a problem that I have.
Yeah. No, it is. And like I said, I'll still stand with it, and that Patrick Mahomes has ruined how we look at quarterbacks. Especially with our argument being that Patrick Mahomes is the standard and he is inevitable and nobody's going to touch him.
Right.
And yeah.
And all the quarterbacks who I've mentioned who we can also compare to Kirk Cousins and say he's not him, they're also having trouble with Patrick Mahomes. So it's just a Patrick Mahomes problem.
Exactly.
In the same way that back in the day, it was a Tom Brady problem. Peyton Manning didn't suck. He just kept on running into Tom Brady. Same thing with Ben Roethlisberger. He didn't suck, but he's just not Tom Brady. And that's kind of the problem is, you know, because the guy to beat is so great that that's the standard that we see. I'm just saying that Kirk Cousins isn't even on the level of Josh Allen. He's not even on the level of Joe Burrow or Jalen Hurts or name the elite quarterback up there, Lamar Jackson.
I feel like Jalen Hurts is a bad one to throw in there.
Do you think?
Yeah. I don't
it's still a small sample size with Jalen Hurts. Every full season he has started in the league, he has been in the playoffs. And I expect him to be back this year.
Doesn't matter if he's back. If he puts up another season like he did this year, then I'm calling his Super Bowl like the NFL's version of an insanity run.
Do you think he's like on the level of a Kirk Cousins if that happens?
Maybe. Like, I don't know. Maybe slightly better than Kirk Cousins. I don't know.
No.
I don't think a insanity run can be a Super Bowl run. Like, those are
And what has he done?
Random players can have good long strings of regular season wins, but they're just not any insanity run. You can just burst through the playoffs, dance with Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl, barely lose the game by one score, and then be done after that. I mean, you went back, you went 11-1 to start the next season. Now I understand what happened after that, but I just don't think this is a small sample size for Jalen Hurts. I think he is what he is. He's not good as Patrick Mahomes. He's probably not as good as Joe Burrow. Probably not as good as Josh Allen either, but he's still a really good quarterback.
I don't see Jalen Hurts being top 10. That's my problem.
Yeah. So you have Kirk Cousins higher than Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
but not by much. Not by much.
So Jalen Hurts is 11 for you.
11, 12, 13. He's in that top 15. My problem is the way that he performed in that last 6 week stretch, whatever it was. And there's a lot of factors that can go into the whole Jalen Hurts thing too, because the coaching for Philly wasn't great that last stretch, and you could tell it was all about a blow up in their face. And Mike from Squawking Eagles will say it best. They never adjusted to anything, never fixed anything up, and teams figured them out. So,
right. So I think, I'm sorry.
No, you can finish. That was basically all I had.
Okay. So on that part, I do blame the coaching. I know when in the wake of that playoff loss, I did blame Jalen Hurts. But the reason I blame Jalen Hurts is because he doesn't have the ability to throw the football in a game where you're playing from behind. And I Kirk do Cousins agree does. That they need to
and
throw.
And Kirk Cousins does. Thank you for proving my point.
I do agree that you need to use Jalen Hurts in the way that he needs to be used. I do agree that they should have run the ball more, because that's the way the offense is run. That's the way Jalen Hurts plays. If you use a dual threat quarterback like a pocket passer, then it's not going to work out well. But that being said, he's still probably the best dual threat player there is as far as winning games in the playoffs. So I think he is that type of player where you just need to use him correctly. Is he a Super Bowl winner? I don't know, but we know he's a playoff winner. We know he can win some playoff games.
Yeah.
And we know he can year in, year out, make the playoffs. So down years for him, he goes 9-8 his first year starting in the league. He barely makes the playoffs, gets bounced, but I believe it was by barely two scores to the Bucks, and one and done after a really bad second half of the year. Those are bad years for Jalen Hurts. Bad years for Kirk Cousins, he's missing the playoffs. So that's something I'm a little worried about.
I mean, Jalen Hurts is also on a stacked-ass Philly team, too.
Yeah, Crossage is a point.
Yeah, but the Vikings are stacked.
The Vikings
offense.
Did not.
They are not. Defenses,
though.
On offense, they are. On defense, no. But this year, the Eagles, I saw that.
CJ has breaking news. CJ has breaking news.
Yes.
Yeah, Danielle Hunter is signing with the Texans. 2-year deal, $49 million. I'm going to post
this. Speaking of the Vikings.
Well.
Yep.
That is
pretty comical, isn't it?
Yeah.
I will say their defenses haven't been very good.
They have. Greenard go to the Vikings. This is basically a trade.
What was that?
Didn't Houston's edge rusher, the breakout guy, Jonathan Greenard, actually go to the Vikings, though?
Pretty sure. So
it's basically a trade.
Yeah. And Houston's defense was already looking pretty good to begin with, and now they just got even better.
They brought in Jeff Okuda to pair up with Derek Stingley Jr. I mean, that defense is looking much better. They're bringing the old crew back in their pass catching core. Noah Brown is back. They still obviously have Tank Dell and Nico Collins. Dalton Schultz is back, and they brought in Joe Mixon to go with Damian Pierce. That's a pretty good team. It looks pretty good, which is going to segue into our next segment, which is we have a couple early free agency winners. I wouldn't say winners yet because it's early on. Front runners, teams who are kicking ass right now. We're going to go over that next. This is the Fumble Rooski podcast. It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski podcast by Power 88 and Secret Weapon Consulting. Adam Wright with Chris Kostich and CJ Medeiros. So the Texans, Commanders, and Jaguars have all made a pretty good amount of moves. The Texans, most notably, they've made some good moves on defense. As we mentioned before, teasing the next segment, Danielle Hunter to the Texans. They also got Jeff Okuda, and they also got in a trade Joe Mixon. So they got some pretty good players in this deal. The Commanders made some moves on their interior offensive line, adding a couple of guards, and they also added to their defense. The Jaguars, they just added Gabe Davis, and they are also supposed to get Calvin Ridley back. According to reports, he wants to return. However, they're waiting until tomorrow, when the Falcons can only get Houston's the Jaguars' third pick, then their second round pick. What does that tell you? Tells you that Calvin Ridley's already made his mind, and he's just trying to help his team, the Jaguars, with getting better draft compensation. So yeah, what are you guys' thoughts?
I don't know. I like the moves that the Jags are doing. My only concern is the Gabe Davis pickup, just because he is probably the most inconsistent receiver in the league in terms of being a wide receiver two, fringe wide receiver, potential wide receiver one. Like, you could put a missing poster for Gabe Davis for almost every single week besides 2 or 3 weeks out of a season.
Hey, guys. We got more news. I'm sorry.
Breaking news.
Yep. Jordan Poyer is signing a 1-year deal with the Miami Dolphins. He's staying in the division.
Oh, ho. How about that?
And Chiefs just got linebacker. Excuse me. The Saints just got linebacker Willie Gay.
Both 1-year deals.
1-year deals have kind of ruled this fringe. But continue, Chris. I'm sorry. Please forgive me.
But I would, if we were to choose any of the three, I mean, the Texans have been my favorite in this whole free agency process with the moves they're making. I mean, this is already a good team, and they are just getting better at this rate. And there's no reason to really believe that coaching's going to get in the way. So it's really just a matter of if the players can even get it done. And with the talent level that they brought in, granted, this is still a young team. So, and this is a team that is ahead of schedule already, but seeing the way they played last year, seeing what they're doing already in the first 2 days of free agency, or the first 2 days of the accepted tampering period, or the legal tampering period, or whatever. But regardless, the first 2 days of this period that we're in, they've already made great moves in making this young team better. And that's the thing, they're young, and they're only going to get better.
Adam, you got to post.
Of course. I think the Texans, I wanted to think that they would get a wide receiver one. I thought they would be in on Mike Evans. Turns out they did not have interest. And all the other wide receivers got tagged or extended or just signed back to their old teams. It appears that they believe Tank Dell is their wide receiver one. So whether or not he is one thing, but what they believe, they think he is. So we'll see. Only time will tell with that. But if he is, that's Tank Dell as your number one, Nico Collins as your two. You also have, now you brought Noah Brown to also go out wide. And you also, you brought back Dalton Schultz and Joe Mixon. I mean, CJ Stroud, he couldn't have inherited a better situation. And this kid is continuing to grow before our very eyes. It's very risky to start a quarterback his rookie year, but I don't think he could have played better. He missed a bunch of games, and he still threw for over 20 touchdown passes. And he took very good care of the football. I believe, what, did he only throw like three?
Yeah, it was only like three interceptions.
Yeah, three or four, like somewhere like that. Even, not many.
Even that playoff game, he didn't have any turnovers, I'm pretty sure, right?
Not to my knowledge.
Yes, he did. He threw two pick sixes, I believe.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
But, I mean, it's his first playoff game.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes didn't even start his second
playoff game. That was the Ravens game.
Yeah.
But regardless,
right. Patrick Mahomes didn't start his rookie year.
Yeah, even the Browns playoff game that they played in, he was spectacular. Going up against one of the best pass defenses in the league, and he just tore him to shreds.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So he threw for 23 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. So he took care of the football. He threw a good amount of touchdown passes, and he did it while missing 2 games. So those stats could have been better.
And it took him, what, like 10 weeks to even throw an interception to begin with?
Yeah, he had a really good year.
Yeah.
So this is a team that's on the up and up, and you've got to have them as, I mean, the Jaguars are still right there. They're still young, and they brought back most of their core. You got to have this team as the favorites for the AFC South right now, right?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Oh, absolutely.
The Jaguars, on the other hand, are still right there.
And the Jaguars are still there, but
so is that a lot of coordinator?
Yeah, the coaching is still weary to me, and there's still questions around Trevor Lawrence. I mean, let's face it, Trevor Lawrence and Mac Jones' stats are almost simultaneous when you look at their career stats. I mean, the only thing that's different is the career win-loss record, and that's because Mac ended up having a better rookie year than Trevor Lawrence did. But there's still a lot of questions around Trevor Lawrence. So, you know, the Jags are up there, but I don't think that they're really as up there with the Texans as we may think.
Yeah. I mean, I hear you, but I feel like what y'all mentioned with the offensive coordinator, Press Taylor, I think he's probably going to have an Arthur Smith effect, whereas he's more of a hindrance than a help. He's basically like a ball and chain to this offense. Press Taylor, I don't think, has any business being OC, and every Jaguars fan wants him tarred and feathered. So I feel like if they add a better OC, I might be more inclined to be nicer to the Jags, but that's just not happening, I fear.
All right. Also, I guess just the Commanders quick. A team that doesn't look like they could, depending on what they do at quarterback, but doesn't look like they're going to be a playoff team right now. But they are definitely building the foundation for a potential quarterback to come in and win some and further his development, help him move along, and potentially one day they'll be in the same conversation as the Texans and Jaguars. Obviously, they're in a completely different conference, but same level of play. That might be Jaden Daniels. We'll see what they do at number 2. But they did cut their left tackle, and they haven't replaced him yet, which is something to think about.
Yeah, I think, there's still a lot of questions regarding the Commanders. I mean, great, you signed Zach Ertz, signed Keandre Jones. I don't know. I feel like that there's still a lot left to be said for the Commanders, especially for them having being top 5 in cap space right now. I feel like that you should be seeing their name a little bit more right now, but they're not.
No, I mean, I get you, Chris. I mean, you have a point. However, as someone that's been doing a lot of free agency posts, I can tell you I've seen them quite a bit. And look, and it's not just that, but they're trying to lay a foundation. I think there's nothing wrong with that. You know, you got Dante Fowler Jr. from the Cowboys. You got Marcus Mariota's like a good journeyman kind of fellow there. You know what I mean?
He's a good veteran quarterback for a Austin young guy.
Eckler, who is an upgrade over Antonio Pierce. Panthers, very underrated linebacker, Frankie Louvu. I mean, you can't argue with that. That's a pretty good signing. Dorrance Armstrong from Dallas.
Even the Austin Eckler signing is, there's still a lot of questions around him. Like, you all saw the way how he was running at the end of the year, or just in general for all last year. He just doesn't run the ball as well anymore. There's a lot of questions surrounding Austin Eckler, which I feel like that the Commanders could have been possibly better off just keeping Antonio Gibson.
See, the interior of their line looks good. And they did bring in Austin Eckler. They just need what I believe they need is a tackle right now. I think they need a tackle. And CJ and I kind of nailed it right on the head when we were talking about what in our full offseason preview, what the Commanders need to do. Cause we both, one of us said offensive line, the other said defense. What have they been nailing the past 48 hours? Defense and interior offensive line, which they still need a little help at tackle. Let's see what they get there. There's a couple tackles still left, but I mean, they're hitting on their every need that they have right now. Their defensive backfield still needs, I guess, a little bit of work, but right now they know what they need and they're addressing it. So they're laying out that foundation.
Yeah, I you're probably right.
All right. We're going to move on to, we'll stay right here for this. Patriots and Cowboys are being way too conservative. The only move the Cowboys have made is to keep their long snapper. And as for the Patriots, they've done a little bit more, I'll grant them. But that is keep the group that they've had. The group that went 4-13. So yes. I wouldn't say that is an accomplishment. Sure, they brought in some good players. Mike Onwenu is a player that they needed to retain. They brought in Okorafor, who's been a starter for most of his career, but at this point, I think he's more of a swing tackle, more of a backup, a depth piece. They still need another tackle, I believe. Just my personal opinion. As for the running back, sure. They got Antonio Gibson, a nice compliment to Ramondre Stevenson. He's been overworked over the past couple of years. However, out of all of their needs, they still don't have that left tackle that they need. We're not bringing Trent Brown back.
Good.
And I would hope so. I mean, I have no say in that front office. And on top of that, they still need CJ said this best. Wide receiver one has been their biggest need for a long time.
Yeah,
pretty much half a decade it has been a need, and they have refused to address it.
So I got through with some posts. Can I just talk real quick after? I'm sorry, I don't want to cut you off, but like I'm kind of sat in the back like doing a post. So yeah. So I just want to mention like the Cowboys real quick. You know, everybody, you know, we who make jokes about, well, the Cowboys aren't going to do anything because Cowboys. This is why. This is why you actually had a good team, right? I mean, granted, you lost first round like you always do, but it was something to build on, right? Nope, just kidding. You actually didn't sign anyone aside from re-signing your long snapper. And you've lost pieces on your defense. Trent, you've lost your starting running back. Your left tackle there, Tyron Smith, he's good as gone. Stephon Gilmore, also good as gone. I don't think you're going to get your corner Jordan Lewis back. You already lost Dorrance Armstrong. You already lost Dante Fowler. I've said this already, but you lost Tony Pollard. Like, you are hemorrhaging pieces. And when you look at
in the division, Philly, who's beefing up, right? They're getting some names that cannot bode well for you. And then there's New England. Despite the fact that at one point they had over $100 million in cap space, we are veering towards another quiet free agency for them. Why? But here's the thing, I've said before, it's very Belichickian, you know, like very low-key, not bringing a lot of outside guys, not throwing around money. It's like, you have over $100 million. Why aren't you? And remember when Jerod Mayo said in his introductory press conference, we're going to burn some cash. Yeah, you got all the fans' hopes up. And then of course, a week before free agency, I don't know if you saw, he backpedaled and said, well, obviously you don't have to spend it all. You know what? We as Pats fans probably should have taken that as more dire. I thought it was like, oh, okay, that's fair. You got to say that. But no. And I mean, look, I'm happy that they signed on Wenu. You know, they got Kendrick Bourne. They got all the guys back. But you're spending money, right? You got all the guys back that you needed, right? These are like good guys. And everyone's like, oh, see, Bill Belichick would have let them walk. And I'm like, okay, counterpoint, we're staying the same. You have spent money, and they still have over $60 million to play with. Don't get it twisted. So they can still go out there and make moves, but they won't. The only people from outside the team that they have bought in are Jacoby Brissett, Antonio Gibson, and Sione Takitaki and Chukwuma Okorafor. Why? And look, Brissett, look, I'll give them credit with Brissett. You know, you're going to draft rookie quarterbacks. You need a guy for him to learn under. I like Brissett. Brissett's a good guy. But really, these other guys, and then it's like, oh, but the Patriot way. And, you know, and you know what I hate? You go on Instagram and everybody's trying to cope here. You know, that's what they're doing. They're coping. And you're, it's like, oh, you don't have to go out and get all the big name guys. It's never how it's been, and we've won. It's like, yeah, well, we had Tom Brady back then, so shut up. And then what aggravates me the most are these old fans, like 70-some-odd-year-olds, and unironically, Instagram comment sections that are like, oh, you guys should be grateful we even got out, you know, that we even got our guys back. It's like, good God. If I have to listen to one more old Patriots fan say, oh, your new generation is spoiled, it's like, come on, your time's past. Hurry up and die already. Like,
Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God.
No, that's the thing. Like, I am actually livid at this. Elliot Wolf, you know what? Forget wolf in sheep's clothing. This is a Belichick in wolf's clothing. Like, why are we not doing this? At this point, you know what? I'm just going to throw all common sense to the wind. This has got to be intentional. Like, I
we just
know
got canceled
there to prove a point, but this has to be like intentional, because like, I don't know why you're losing a bidding war in Calvin Ridley, but even still, like, go trade for T Higgins or Brandon Ayuk. Like, there is no reason you should have been in the mix for like guys like Kenny Moore. You haven't gotten a good left tackle yet. Like Adam said, it's just, how have you, and especially with wide receiver, how have you let it get this bad? This, we're approaching half a decade of it being a truly pressing need, and you're still just letting it fester. And on top of that, it's just the fans, usually the older ones, that are just coping over this. Like, well, actually, it's like, please shut up.
So per Chad Graff of The Athletic, he said, if the Patriots miss out on Calvin Ridley, I expect them to turn to the trade market, checking in on players like T. Higgins, Keenan Allen, and Brandon Ayuk. So it does look like they're losing the bidding war for Calvin Ridley. And while I would love him to be a Patriot, he's not my first choice who I would want.
Calvin Ridley?
And I don't want to hear – yeah.
Yeah,
I don't want to hear this, well, beggars can't be choosers. If you have all this money, you're not a beggar. And also, T. Higgins, he should not take any more than a day two pick to pry from Cincinnati right now. He's on the franchise tag, and Brian Burns, who's worth more than T. Higgins, just went for a second and I believe a fifth.
Yeah.
Some sort of late round pick that was a throw in.
There was just no first round pick, anyways. So,
yeah, there was no first round pick involved in it. If you can get T. Higgins for a day two pick, you do that yesterday. He's a wide receiver one. And on top of that, he's 25. So you pay him 4 years. What is it? What name the price? $80 million.
Let's give him 80. Yeah, let's throw
4 years, $80 million.
Shit, let's throw 100 at him.
Even if you go 100, we'll be yeah, sure, you overpaid, but we'll be crying over the 1,000-plus yard season he's putting in, year out during his prime years where Drake May is throwing to him. Give him that. And you can do the same thing with Brandon Ayuk. Keenan Allen's 31. I don't want anything to do with him. Again, beggars can't be choosers, but we're not beggars. We're not beggars. We have our pieces. We have our assets. We have the money. You should not have to be, well, let's just settle on Calvin Ridley. We don't need to settle for him. He's not my first choice. I don't believe he's a real wide receiver one. I think we're all blinded by that one season in 2020 where he lit it up. It was a great season, but it looks like it was just a fluke. It was transcendent of Juju Smith-Schuster posting a 1,400-yard season back in 2018. Nice season, good story, didn't happen again. He didn't come close to it. Same thing with Calvin Ridley here. Good receiver, he's a two, high-end two, but that's all. And I don't think the Patriots should splurge on this guy. I really don't think so. I think it might actually be a blessing in disguise that the Patriots are actually losing the bidding war against Jacksonville for this. And it's good for Jacksonville because I think he is a good two to Christian Kirk.
Now, but Adam, it's not even that you're losing a bidding war for Calvin Ridley. It's just that they're not going. There are a lot of good guys that are in free agency and they're just not trying. And I know New England's not a sexy destination, but you can't lose any bidding wars with these guys. Like, you have good elite players who are signing 1 year deals and you never stopped and thought, it's not like we can offer a little bit more, which is why I'm going to reiterate that this has got to be intentional. And the cheapness is just still there. I mean, once again, it's nice we're getting some of our decent guys back, like we're re-signing them. Everyone's like, we should just be happy with that, to which I say, no, I'm not going to be happy with literally being the same team. We went into this offseason with over $100 million for agency, you know, just for cap space, and we could very well come out worse.
CJ, you're arguing with imaginary Instagram comments or Instagram trolls with nothing else to do with their lives.
I've seen them.
Okay, you've seen that they have nothing better to do than to comment on Instagram. Just stay out of the comment section.
Well, it's just us here. I don't comment. I'm just saying but I'm just seeing all these Patriots fans it's like, once again, you have these ones that are like, well, you should just be thankful. It's like, no. Please hurry up. Go collect your AARP checks, as Tuck said. Come on now.
I also don't think it was a money thing with Calvin Ridley. If he wants to be in Jacksonville, it sounds like it's just because that's a place that he wants to be. Because the Patriots it's not the Patriots who are being conservative in this bidding war. The Patriots are being aggressive. They're trying to pressure Calvin Ridley into making a decision right now before Wednesday when they only have to give up a third to the Falcons instead of a second. That's what they're looking to do. And they're just not budging because Calvin Ridley is waiting to sign with the Jaguars Wednesday evening to late afternoon. That's what they're trying to do. So it's really there. This situation in particular is not in the control of the Patriots. I mean, Calvin Ridley just wants to be a Jaguar. He wants to stay there, which is respectable. Fine. He likes it there. He likes Trevor Lawrence. He's the best quarterback so far that he's thrown to him. I would say if you're the Patriots, go to the trade market and try and pry T. Higgins away from the Bengals. Go and get T. Higgins.
Yeah, that was going to be my point, was that, I mean, the bigger picture here, and you could say this about Dallas too, is that neither of these spots are good locations anymore. I mean, you go to Dallas, you're going to have Jerry Jones breathing down your neck the entire time. It's all toxic and whatnot over in Dallas. In New England, you're going to have to deal with the high state tax. You're going to have to deal with a F-graded owner in Robert Kraft. And also, on top of the F graded owner, you're also going to have to deal with one of the worst graded teams in the league as well, in terms of the report card that came out last month. So I don't know if I would want to go to a team that is the 27th worst team to go work for. That doesn't sound very nice to me or my family or people that I care about. I will take my business and go elsewhere if I were these free agents. And that's why I'm going to agree with Adam that your best bet at this rate will probably be in the trade market.
Yeah, but can we trust them to swing a good trade? Because we've seen in the past,
the third overall pick, DJ, we can do whatever the fuck we want. Pardon my language, but we
I'll forgive you. I mean, that's great, but it's like after the Belichick era, I mean, receiver or not, we know that he loved 1 year rentals. And I swear to God, if we trade for T. Higgins and he's a 1 year rental, I don't know what I'm going to do, but it will not be pleasant.
I don't think that they'll do that.
You know, I would think so. I mean, I thought you're also going to spend too, but once again, this is literally Belichick in wolf's clothing, because this has been horrible to watch.
I agree. It hasn't looked good yet so far. They've retained the players that they needed to retain. We can at least have that as a positive. I'm not trying to say be grateful. I'm not being that old Instagram commenter. I'm saying that's still a positive. That's still something that we can look at so far.
But we're the same. Looking forward in free agency.
Looking forward in free agency. Tyron Smith is still on the board. Jonah Williams is still out there. Donovan Smith is still out there. All free agents who they could sign who would make their offensive line better. In fact, probably complete it, because everywhere else they're pretty much set. If they bring in one of those three players, they're good. If they trade for T. Higgins, they're good. If they do those two things, which there's still time and there's still players left, if they do those things, then I'd say this offseason is a success.
Yeah, fair. You know what? I'll grant you that. Thank you for not being an angry old commenter.
I can't wait to clip all of this later. This is going to be so funny.
And if it doesn't happen, then I'm not sure if you should clip the part where CJ just told people to go die.
Oh, I probably
will. That's the thing. They're like, oh, you young people. It's like, man, if you have one foot already in the grave, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm sorry. I don't make the rules. I just think them up and write them down.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all the scheduled content we have for today. And if things come out, be sure to look at our Instagram. CJ has been on top of it. Things come out within a couple of seconds. So be sure to keep up with our Instagram page for all of the free agency news. Stuff is breaking. I mean, we just had three.
Isaiah McKenzie just signed with the Giants. Yeah,
exactly. We've had three or four things just break during this hour-long episode. So things are happening left and right. You guys know how free agency is. Be sure to be caught up. Follow the Fumble Rooski podcast on Instagram, on TikTok. Subscribe on our Instagram. Chris, what's up?
I also want to throw in one last piece before we end, just to think about the Patriots and Chargers have been in talks about Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Khalil Mack, and Joey Bosa. But
look, I like Keenan Allen, but he's ancient.
We don't have to discuss it right now. Just something to think about for next
time. They can all go pound sand. I don't care. I don't care for Keenan Allen. I want nothing to do with him. You'll get a couple good years out of him, but it's basically a DeAndre Hopkins situation. You're not getting him to win a championship. You're getting him to further the development of the quarterback that you have or are going to get now, because the last guy who you are going to do this for, you just booted him out of town. So, give me T. Higgins. You can actually win a Super Bowl with T. Higgins.
All right, wrap it up.
All right.
Well,
That'll do it for us tonight. Thank you for listening to us. We have all our episodes out on Tuesdays at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We also have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and so much more. Be sure to follow our Instagram at FumbleRooski_podcast to keep up with our latest coverage and on the NFL and our podcast. And be sure to tune into our TikTok as well, posting reels and TikToks. at Fumble Rooski Pod. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Over and out.